Welcome to the Commonwealth Club. I'm George Hammond, Chair of the Humanities Forum, which organized tonight's event. It's my pleasure to welcome our live audience here in San Francisco and our radio and online audiences. It's also my pleasure to reintroduce Swami Biyanananda, man, Steve Behrman, who has been doing Swami Biyanananda for 3 decades, entertaining people with his wit and his insights. And we've already had him here twice over the years, and he's back. And as I always say, because I'm sure you won't be talking about this now, best statement, best joke ever about the Great Recession in his speech here during the Great Recession. He said, with great wistfulness in his voice, he said, "You know, this recession is making me feel very nostalgic for the good old days when people robbed banks." Swami Biyanananda.
Hello, everybody. Oh, okay. I'm curious, who has seen this Swami before? Wow, well, you're seeing him again. Who has seen the Swami before but don't remember? That is called Vujade. That's when something actually has happened, only you forgot. Now, it's great to be here, and guess what? We have no choice. Because no matter where we are, we're always here, right? And it's always now. So who would like to be in the now more? Oh, too late, already then. Oh, you want to be in the now, you have to be very, very quick. But I predict, oh, there you are. You're ready for the next lifetime, there you are. No, yes, actually, I understand that living in the now will be the wave of the future. And time itself will become a thing of the past. I know, because the calendar's days are numbered. Me, I'm actually living in all time, all the time. I think they call this Alzheimer's. It's great to be at the Commonwealth Club. It's blessed, a place where wealth is common. I love the story that you told about the economic system. There's a story that I think sums up the whole new word, situation, the whole situation. There was a rabbi, a swami, and a hedge fund manager traveling through the Midwest. They need to stop for the night. They stop at a farmhouse. The farmer says, "I'm sorry, I just have 2 beds. One of you is going to have to sleep out in the barn." Well, the swami says, "Well, I am a humble man of God," and off he goes to sleep out in the barn. But 5 minutes later, knock on the door. It's the swami. He says, "There's a cow. Cows are sacred, but I cannot sleep near one." Rabbi says, "I have no problem with cows," and off he goes. But 5 minutes later, knock on the door. It's the rabbi. He says, "There's a pig. Pigs aren't kosher. I can't sleep near a pig." Well, the hedge fund manager says, "You know what? I have no problem with any animals," and off he goes. 5 minutes later, knock on the door. It's the pig and the cow. And that's why we have here in this so-called economic system, we have what they call trickle-down economics. You know about trickle-down? A little wealth up here and some of it trickles down, which is why they call the people at the bottom peons, you probably know. I think something's trickling down. There are showers of gold, my goodness. No, this has been very, very, very serious situation. A lot of layoffs and a lot of downsizing. I went to one of these 70s rock music revivals a while back. I was shocked. You know who they had performing? Two Dog Night. They had to lay off a dog. That was. But this is wonderful to be in this wonderful place. I love being in Northern California because this is a hotbed of spiritual enlightenment. I want to thank you all for coming out of your hotbeds tonight to join us. Yeah. And, of course, there is so much more awareness here than many other places in the country, particularly around the environment, about alternative energies. I live up in Santa Rosa. I am so proud of Santa Rosa. Somebody just opened up the world's first solar-powered tanning salon. It's outdoors. I travel all over the place. I recently got back from the Ascended Masters Golf Tournament, which is a great event. I go every year, even though I find watching golf is very boring. To me, watching golf was like listening to bowling on the radio, you know. But the Ascended Masters is a very special event. This year, Buddha got a wholeness and oneness. And they held it in the Himalayas. And as you may know, in the Himalayas, there are these beings who are so evolved, they no longer need to eat food. Did you know about this? People exist on breath alone. Now, some entrepreneur got the idea up there in the Himalayas to open up the world's first breatharian restaurant. Well, they don't serve any food, but the atmosphere is terrific, yeah? So I went there, and I'm sitting in the back. I'm watching everything. I see three guys go walking by with close contact noses like this. They were fasting. And you won't believe this. One of them was so evolved, not only doesn't he eat food, he doesn't drink water either. His name is Pierre. Okay, that was time release. Tomorrow you'll laugh for no reason, I promise. Yeah, we're living in very, very interesting times. You know, it's been predicted that a great shift will be taking place. That's why I'm calling this the evolutionary uprising. Because, you know, evolution is really crisis. It's really a crisis. Something is happening that has to change. And if we look around us, there's a multiplicity of crises. And what is required is for humanity to begin to think like a species. You know, because after all, we have a great big footprint. We could call us Bigfoot, right? But with this big footprint, we need a global brain that is operating functionally and a global heart. And more people are waking up. And, you know, the question is, will we achieve critical mass before we get the critical massacre? Very important question. But there is an uprising taking place. People are waking up. And it has been predicted that a great shift will be taking place. Many people are asking, why is this shift happening to me? Well, shift happens. That's why. And the shift is hit the fan. And because of that, people are consulting the great mystics on the planet, you know, to kind of get perspective. Now, there's two kinds of mystics, as you know. There are the optimistics and the pessimistics. Now, the pessimistics, they believe that they're more in touch with reality. But the optimistics are happier and live longer for some reason. The pessimistics are saying, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. The optimistics say, no. It only looks that way because we're ascending. And it's good that we have spiritual perspective. I am very happy to say I have my spirit guide and power animal with me tonight, Bullwinkle. And I'll tell you why. Because no matter what your problem is, if you channel Bullwinkle to tell people your problems, it sounds funnier. Okay, so let's say you lost your job and you have no money. Channel Bullwinkle. I just lost my job and I have no money. That's a little funnier, isn't it? And as you can see, I'm wearing my Moosefix tonight. I have a squirrel of David at home, so I play no favorites. No, actually, what happened was Jesus actually came to me in a dream and he asked me to wear this. I said, what does it mean? He says, it means for Christ's sake, lighten up. Because the world is in serious condition, largely due to our conditioning to be serious. Seriously, yeah. Take the political system, please. We have a deeply divided body politic in this country. Half the population believes our elections are broken. The other half believe that they're fixed. We've been divided into these two political tribes, the red tribe Republicans, blue tribe Democrats, spending all of their energy arguing about whether it's worse to kill the born or the unborn. Meanwhile, the Commonwealth has been low-jacked by a very small percentage of the uncommonly wealthy while this has been going on. And so people say, well, Swami, what do we need to do? Well, we need to leave the safe confines of these belief systems, because what people believe is totally unbelievable. We need to leave the safe confines of left and right and have left and right come front and center to turn the funk into function and leave the junk at the junction. We need to bring red tribe and blue tribe together to sit in sacred circle and talk until they're purple in the face. Because only by being together as one purple people will the peeps outnumber the perps. I mean, really, the middle class. Remember the middle class? We used to have a middle class. But now it's being eaten away, eaten from below by the lowly criminal, eaten from above by the highly criminal. Yes, the truth shall upset you free, yes. But fortunately, we have the power of humor. You know, how many seekers of wisdom do we have with us tonight? Very good, because as you know, there's a seeker born every minute. And two to take him along the path. Yes, you can laugh. That's okay. That's the whole idea. You know, and actually, it's actually not easy being on the path nowadays, really, because if you're on the path, you have to watch very carefully where you step. I'm writing a new book about being on the path. It's called Looking Out for Number Two. Woo! Everywhere, my goodness. You get a whole world of people looking out for number one. There's going to be plenty of number two. Yeah. A lot of what they call residudu, left over from 5,000 years of rule by the lowest common denominator. Yes? And that is the question that we have to ask ourselves. Will the done doo-doo be our undoing? Huh? That's very, very important. But anyway, we have great power, the spiritual power. I was a seeker of wisdom. In fact, I tried so many spiritual paths, I was pathological. I expanded my mind so much, I couldn't fit through my door. I had to go to a shrink. I was addicted to spirit. I was addicted to it. I was hitting the source pretty hard in those days. They say you have to hit bottom. It happened to me. I woke up one morning in a strange biker crash pad. Everything reeked of incense. I looked around me, and the bikers had these orange leather vests and funny ponytails. I went, oh, my God, I've become a Hare Krishna. Talk about vicious cycle. I looked in the mirror, and at that moment, I achieved what they call fool realization. I realized, I'm a fool. And I started laughing at myself. They call this self-facing laughter, where you laugh in your own face. Huh? You know, they're old saying, laugh at yourself and the whole world will laugh at you too. And since that time, I have been practicing fundamentalism with the accent on the fun, which is not to be confused with fundamentalism, accent on the mental. See, the fundamentalists, they say heaven is above us. The fundamentalists say heaven is where we make it. So why don't we go for heaven on earth just for the hell of it? Because we're not here to earn God's love, we're here to spend it. We call this supply-side spirituality. Now, as a fundamentalist, I believe that life is a joke. But God is laughing with us, not at us. The Creator is watching the Comedy Channel. We're what's on. And we're given free choice in life. We get to decide whether or not we laugh. You want to be miserable? Go right ahead, whatever makes you happy. But I believe that underneath all of the stress and distress and sadness in life, there's a deep well of joy. And every time we let laughter bubble up out of that deep well, we experience deep wellness. But sometimes we forget to laugh, right? Anybody go a day without laughing recently? Irregular hilarity. You need a good laughative every day. Okay, has anybody gone a week without laughing? My goodness, you may be suffering from humeroids. Humeroids is an enlargement of the onus. Where you feel so much responsibility, the only thing you're ever able to pass is heavy judgments. Woo! We have been given what is called the human gestive system to process the material of the material world. And we've all heard that laughter is medicine, laughter is healing. And maybe you've heard the story about Norman Cousins. He was a writer about 40 years ago, diagnosed with a life-threatening illness. He checked into a hotel room with Marx Brothers movies, candid camera reruns, and he got well. And when he cured himself, the medical establishment decided that they were going to study the healing power of laughter, which is kind of like, well, it works in practice, but does it work in theory? And when they studied the physiology of humor, they found that when we laugh, it causes it creates these hormones called endorphins, which are our natural painkillers. Laughing improves immune function. Laughter lowers the blood pressure, because when we laugh, it causes our blood vessels to dilate. Better than having them die early. I want mine to die as late as possible. And, oh, listen, you're going to love this. I read recently that laughing burns calories. So I'm starting a new program. It's called Laugh Your Ass Off. Should be very popular. Lose weight, lose weightiness. It's all the same, all the same. Now, people ask me all the time, Swami, will there ever be peace on earth? And I say, well, you know, I've got great news. There will be peace on earth. I sure hope we humans are around to enjoy it, yes? Because let's face it, I mean, we're in a very serious situation here. And the key to peace, as we are coming to learn, more and more people are recognizing that the external world is a reflection and a fractal of our internal psyche. We've created this out there as a play for us to play in. So if we want to have peace out there, we have to create peace in here. That is how it works. So we have to learn to transmute our negative energies. I've created a technique, I call it tantrum yoga. Use your anger to heat your home in the wintertime. Tantrum yoga, that is where you hold your breath until God gives you what you want. That is how Krishna turned blue. Mm. Gonna be a blue Krishna without you. You know, it's the jacket. This is I got this at an Elvis convention, this jacket in Las Vegas. And every time I wear it, Elvis comes through. You know, there's an Elvis religion. Did you know about this? Presbyterianism? Huh? No, it's one of those new light religions. Same satisfying flavor, one-third the commandments. Because Elvis asks only three things of us. Love me tender, please surrender, return to sender. That's all. I was so impressed, I became an Orthodox Presbyterian. Every morning I would do my salute to the sun, singing, hunka, hunka, burn in love. And yeah, I became an Elvis's witness too, yes. Now we go door-to-door proselytizing every Saturday night, and we'd ring the doorbell, and they'd open the door. We'd say, are you lonesome tonight? And people would go right to Graceland just from that. But if you want to achieve peace, if you want to actually have internal peace, the secret, and people sometimes have a problem with this, is you have to be positive. So I've got a new program called Just Say No to Negativity. Positively no negativity. Very, very important. And it's especially important when we're around kids to be positive and speak only words of encouragement to impressionable kids. So you come downstairs, if you have a child or a grandchild, you come downstairs, they're splayed out, it's a mess, their room is a mess. Only positive words of encouragement. You have to say, what's right with you, you useful good for something? And wipe that smile onto your face. And this is something controversial. If you really, really, really want to be happy and you want to be peaceful, you have to learn how to bless everything. Bless everything. Driver cuts you off. You have to bless that driver. Bless you. Bless you too. Go bless yourself. This absolutely works. I tried this on 101 the other day. Driver gave me half of a peace sign. Now, this is, you know, this looks like a very evolved group. I can tell your auras, or some of you had orgasms recently. I got some extra color. And you recognize that, of course, each of us already has all of the answers within. Hmm? Matching them with the corresponding questions, that is the challenge. And so if you have an answerable question for the Swami will have a questionable answer for you. So who has a question? And by the way, don't be afraid to appear foolish. Look at me. Okay. Oh, we have a microphone. That's going to slow things down. Okay, we got somebody right over there. Is that a cordless mic? Okay.
I'd like to remind everyone that they're listening to Swami Beyondananda speaking at the Commonwealth Club of California. For questions.
Okay.
We would like to record the questions. Yes.
Okay. What is the meaning of life?
What
is the meaning of life?
What is the Swami. Meaning of life? Now, you're talking about Life the magazine or Life the cereal? Which one?
The cereal.
Oh, the cereal. Okay. Well, life is a serial in that we do get reincarnated. How many people believe in reincarnation? Great to see you again. And again, and again, and again. Anybody not believe in reincarnation? Okay, well, you will your next lifetime, don't worry. Okay. No, but the meaning of life, people ask me that all the time, and so I've had to really ask myself, what is the meaning of that question? Why do people ask that question? People really want to know, why is life so contrary? Why is it that bad things happen to good people? And I think I figured it out. God is dyslexic. Created the human race for a sixth grade science project, got a C. Yeah, but I don't feel so bad because, you know, I think I like the idea of an imperfect creator. It's kind of like that story about the priest and the Monsignor who are playing golf, and the priest hits one into the woods. He goes, damn it, I missed. And the Monsignor becomes very upset with him. He says, you took the Lord's name in vain. Priest is very apologetic, but this goes on and on. He hits one into the lake, damn it, I missed. And finally, the priest is so embarrassed and so humiliated, he says, if I say that again, may I be struck down. Well, they keep playing, and the priest hits one into the woods. He goes, damn it, I missed. And from the sky comes a lightning bolt that hits the Monsignor. And there is a loud, thunderous voice saying, damn it, I missed. So the meaning of life is that negative things are going to happen. Life is like photography. Use the negative to develop. Okay, we got a hand over there. And you're going to hand over the... You're going to control the mic, as we always do. George is a great mic controller. Yes?
Now, when you spoke of the red and the blue coming together to make purple, popped into my mind a song I remember from back when I was growing up.
It was purple a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. That one? Is that the one? Okay, well, see, I think we have to not be afraid of the purple people eater. Even though I think that there's many, many reasons why people are fearful these days. People say, Swami, the world is run by just a very, very, very few people who control everything. I said, that's great news. He said, what do you mean that's great news? I said, there's way, way, way more of us than there are of them. You know, it was a great moment when Gandhi realized that the people in India outnumbered the British occupiers by something like 300,000 to 1. What are the odds? It's like the Lone Ranger and Tonto, right? They get caught in an ambush, and Lone Ranger says, well, Tonto, looks like we're done for. We're surrounded by Indians. Tonto says, what you mean we, Kemosabe? So as we look at all of these perpetrations, we need to gather around the heart and soul of who we are. We need heartland security, not homeland security, and recognize that it's time for normal, loving, sane, and reverent people to say, what you mean we, Kemosabe? Hmm? Okay, another question.
What is love and how can we express more of it in the world?
What is love and how can we express more of it in the world? Well, love is the actual connection between all things. That's what keeps the whole thing going. And, you know, many, many times, you know, people, we have the choice. And this is really, it's a matter of choice of what we feed. Do we feed the wolf of love or do we feed the wolf of fear? And the good news is love is more powerful than fear. Otherwise, we'd be singing, all you need is fear. She fears you, yeah, yeah. I said, we're not singing that. So it is a matter of choice of what we want to, of what we want to choose. And that is why we're all here, because of love. Yes? You know, I mean, let's face it. How easy. We had this population explosion. It's all related to love. All you need is for ovulation and undulation to occur roughly the same time, and you spring off some offspring, just like that. Okay.
You don't have many opportunities to ask a man wearing such a beautiful headdress questions, so here's your opportunity.
My head is dressed today. Sometimes my head is naked. And there's a little bald spot that comes from too much meditation. That's why they call those guys friars. They fry the follicles from the inside. Yeah.
Where can I move where it's a very peaceful country when I retire?
Well, you're thinking about retiring, eh? No, that doesn't happen anymore. That's why our parents did that. They retired. We keep working. A peaceful country. I think there's always said that the grass is greener somewhere else. But I think that we have to be where we are and create this space of peace around us. That's really what it is. It all begins in here, and it radiates out there. Now, sometimes people don't feel peaceful. You know, when there's a lot of things going on and you're not feeling peaceful, that's how I figured out a way you can be peaceful anytime. Simply by doing the peace mantra. Would you like to learn the peace mantra? Yeah. Goes like this. Ah, peace on it. Try that with me, please. Ah, peace on it. And if that doesn't work, then obviously your issue has to do with the ego, and you need to release the grip of the ego. Another simple mantra, three-word mantra to release the grip of the ego. Ego, egoing, egon, like that. And if that doesn't work, it's probably because you've had too much information and thought particles have gotten caught between your ears, creating a condition called truth decay. 4 out of 5 transcendentists recommend mental floss to treat truth decay. Back and forth twice a day, you'll prevent truth decay. Really? Try that. Okay. Here's a question over here.
What is the ideal vacation?
Oh, the ideal vacation. Well, you know, the word vacation comes from the idea of vacating. So for me, the ideal vacation is leaving my body. Out of body travel, it's very cheap. You don't care if they lose your baggage. Who needs baggage, right? The first time I traveled outside my body, I was beside myself. The only thing is, you always leave it running and don't forget where you parked it. That's very, very serious. I just came, you know, people ask me, one of the things people ask is global warming real? So I took a vacation in the future. I just got back from a fabulous week in Tropicana. So, that tells you something. What I don't know. Okay. I have several answers left, so we need some more questions.
Do you believe that we're all one?
Well, if I'm one, you're one too. I'm trying to figure out which one we are. I don't know. Now listen, the universe has us surrounded, might as well surrender. That's right. The universal oneness. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. We're all connected. We're all one with that same one.
Next question.
Oh, don't make me channel or read minds. Any more questions? I know we have to have a question. Yes, here's one.
You mentioned global warming. Do you think it's human-made?
What's that?
You mentioned global warming.
Global warming.
You think it's human-made?
You know, a lot of things are human-made these days. I mean, I think that we've got. I think the biggest problem that we face in this world today, extraterrestrials. We have way too many terrestrials. We don't need any extra. Compared to 50 years ago, we have twice as many terrestrials as we had then. And so consequently, we are leaving a big footprint, and we're actually burning fossil fuels like crazy. We're being run by these fossilized fools fueled by fossil fuels, let's face it. Because I think this. I think that nature, and you'll agree with me, I think, nature always has a way of balancing things out. For the last several generations, the planet has gotten warmer. And yet, each generation, the kids have been cooler than their parents. That is a natural balance. The other thing, because of the population issue, I think that the secret to solving this problem of human-caused climate change, multiple personalities. I read about a guy who has 12 personalities. 12 personalities in one body. That's efficiency. If we had more people like that, we'd need fewer people. There's a hand over there.
And what, pray tell, did your mother say about you?
What did my mother say about me?
Every single thing she said.
Oh, well, I think basically she says, come to dinner. Now, I know you didn't like that answer, but I wasn't so crazy about the question. So, now, actually, I grew up in a normal family. I believe it or not, I grew up in Oklahoma. I'll explain the accent. I grew up in Oklahoma in a Methodist family. Actually, my father was Methodist, my mother was Catholic, so technically, I'm a rhythm Methodist. And I was different from the other children. I would spontaneously go into yoga poses when I was a kid. In Oklahoma, okay? Listen, by the time I was in the Boy Scouts, I could tie myself into 12 different knots. My mother, she realized I needed spiritual guidance, and so she took me to the most evolved spiritual teacher in Oklahoma. No, not the yogi from Muskogee, no. No, it was a great Native American shaman, Broken Wind. Have you heard of him? He taught a technique called gastral projection. It had a clearer room, very powerful. And he was a very sweet man, very gentle. And I was a very mischievous child. And he would be sitting to meditate like this. I would sneak up on him from behind and do like a little Heimlich maneuver with him. He let me do this for a while. And then one day I did this. And true to his name, he gastrally projected me across the room. I learned a valuable spiritual lesson. Don't squeeze the shaman. Hey, his channel, not my fault. Okay, who else? Something that's been puzzling you? Ask me, have it puzzled the both of us? Oh, here's a hand, yes.
Any more ideas about how we can achieve peace of mind?
Peace of mind. Well, the thing is we need, as I said earlier, what people believe in their heads is unbelievable. So we need to leave the static of the head for the ecstatic of the heart. Because the more we expand our hearts, the less we're going to need to shrink our heads. Because this is where we got all of this disagreement, all of this stuff, all of these. It's a dogma-eat-dogma world out there. Let's face it. Although I do believe you can teach an old dogma new tricks. Yes. Yes. In fact, I think one day we're going to have what they call the pray-offs. Where all of the prayer, everybody will pray together. In fact, I will channel Howard Cosell to do the pray by pray, the late great Howard Cosell. But anyway, so I think that this is that basically it's as we move into the space of the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. There is unity here. This is unity. And I think that most human beings are susceptible to love. susceptible to love and respect and being treated that way. And what happens with the way our political system is structured, you know, is that it's always about dueling dualities. It's about this versus that. So we need to actually turn dueling dualities into dynamic duo dance partners so that we don't have these two separate pieces fighting one another, but we have them using their strengths to actually work together. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Swami, you're proposing a sane world. You must be crazy. We don't need to change the world. There's a better way. I say let's toilet train the world and we'll never have to change it again. Okay, more questions.
How can we use the heart to influence the people in the politics who are only interested in having power for themselves?
How can we use the arts to... The heart. Well, you know, I think that this is really very important because we need to overgrow. This is what the evolutionary uprising is. It's not a revolutionary uprising to overthrow. That keeps us on the same cycle, you know, the same cycle of karma. Anybody got rear-ended by their own karma recently? Yeah. So actually, this it changes it. It evolves us to a different level where you have a majority of people focusing right here. The politicians have to change. We need to overgrow the current situation. People say, Swami, is there any difference between the two political parties? Absolutely. There's a big difference. The Republicans, they bend over backwards for the bankers and special interests. Democrats, completely the opposite. They bend over forward. So the way that we overgrow this situation is that we actually let these two polarities go and we begin to gather around the heart as people, connecting one to one to one to one to one. Because in the heart, we really all want the same thing. And if we do gather in that space of love, we can isolate the sociopathogens who've been running things. Who else? More questions? Okay.
Well, to carry that further, how would you talk to, if you were Secretary of State or President, how would you deal with ISIS and ISIL and people like that in your heart way?
Well, that's a very good question. I think that every society has to identify its own sociopathogens. I think one of the problems with this country is that we have been perpetrators as well. And so as perpetrators, it's very, very hard to point the finger there because finger pointing is pointless. You point one finger this way, there's three fingers pointing back this way. And so because of that disconnection, with our democracy being turned into a mockracy and our system, the new word for our system, I called it feudalism. Because many young people have decided that voting is futile. They are not even going to bother with it. And so that disheartenment in the heartland has made it very difficult to actually police the things that need to be policed. There are certain times where, I mean, none of us human beings would say, I don't want to have an immune system. We need to have an immune system. And sometimes you need to call in the Mr. T cells. It makes it difficult to do that let's face it, I mean, you have the Wolfowitz in Sheepowitz's clothing here, to put it a certain way. So this is what the Great Uprising is. And so the Evolutionary Uprising is a 4-step program, which mathematically works 3 times faster than 12-step. And it's wake up, wise up, grow up, show up. Wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up to who we really are. We're really spiritual beings having a human experience. We're bigger than this situation. We're bigger than who we've been told we are. And the best way to wake up is to wake up laughing. Because if you're able to laugh, it creates courage. It creates perspective. It shakes things up. Laughter is underestimated, but I'll tell you about a very famous experiment that was done. They took a group of college students, put them in a room with hilarious comedy videos, took another group of college students, put them in another room, made them memorize Croatian parables. gave them an electric shock every time they made a mistake, and the results were conclusive. The ones watching comedy had more fun. So we want to wake up laughing. Then we want to wise up. We want to wise up loving. Because if love is good enough for Jesus, Buddha, and the Beatles, it's good enough for me, huh? Because that's the power that keeps us connected, that reminds us of who we really are, that we really are all one with the same one. Then we have to grow up. We need to grow up from children of God to adults of God. And we are stuck in this middle phase right now, addled essence. Our essence has been addled by misperceptions, misbeliefs, toxic impropaganda. And so part of growing up is growing upward to the higher perspective. Levity helps you achieve that. Yeah? Levity lifts you up. Gravity is a downer. And then finally, show up ready to play. This is the most exciting time in human history. The entire human race is in the role, at the hero's role, in this movie. Because if we don't, we're either going to make it as a human race or we won't. It doesn't matter how big a car you drive. You know, let's face it. If we lose the Earth, there goes the GDP. You know what I mean? So part of showing up is showing up for the greatest show on Earth. You people said, Swami, what is reality? It's very simple. You know reality TV? Reality is reality TV without the TV. And this is very important because it's important that at this point, I have to be very blunt, the mainstream media is a brainwashing machine stuck on spin. Only one TV news network telling the truth about what they're broadcasting. CBS. Hey, you want a CBS? Come over here. We got plenty. Well, if you don't want a CBS, then what? Well, if you don't like the current programming, turn off your TV and television instead. I television to you, you television to me. And we have healing and functional visions to step into, and that certainly beats what we've been stepping into. So in showing up, make your life something. You know, how many people have a bucket list? A bucket list is a list of all of the undertakings you wish to undertake before being overtaken by the undertaker. Okay, who else? I see a hand.
I have one simple question. Has Paul Wolfowitz ever heard your joke about the Sheepowitz? I really wish he would hear that one.
I wish he were here, too. I would certainly have a word for him. Yes.
Your last few remarks about TV has stimulated something in me. I wonder if you could enlighten us as to the place of the Kardashians.
The place?
The meaning of the Kardashians, yes.
Well, I don't want to Kardash your hopes about this, but... No, this is interesting because here it's called vicarious living. We want to live through all of these other people. And, you know, there used to be just People magazine. Now there's 6 or 7 or 8 of these publications about other people. And I think it's really people forget that every one of us has a life to live. Each of us is totally unique, just like everybody else. That we don't need the Kardashians. Yes.
So Swami, you mentioned about television. So I wonder if you tell us your vision of the future.
Well, I've got many, 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 many visions. Many visions. You know, one of them, I have to say, frankly, one of my great heroes is the Dalai Lama. Because, you know, he doesn't take himself that seriously. He's been interviewed by some very serious... Why are all of the Western scholars so serious about this? Serious Western scholar about Buddhism asking him all of these questions, and for every other question, Dalai Lama's answer is, I don't know. Now that is high self-esteem, I'm thinking. Try that at work tomorrow. I don't know. You're a brain surgeon. Of course, then I start thinking, what does the Dalai Lama not know that I don't not know? Huh? So one of my visions that I see is sometime in the very near future, the Dalai Lama be able to return home and live in this homeland where he belongs. Would you like that? Because, again, when many people hold a same vision, it could happen. I want to be there when this happens. I want to be there when he gets off the plane so I could say to him, "Hello, Dolly. Yes, hello, Dolly. It's so good to have you back where you belong." Could happen. Could happen. Who else?
Another question.
More questions.
Any other questions?
I am wanted for questioning, I understand.
I think there's a no perfect end, better end than that one. That was just
okay.
Fantastic.
Well, thank you. And there's a better end too. This is another. But before, can I do one more thing?
Oh yeah.
Listen. You know, like I want to give you something of value for tonight. Okay. And the thing is, how many people would love to have the one thing that is guaranteed to solve all of their problems? Would you be interested? I have with me tonight the one thing guaranteed to solve all your problems instantly. It is a box of absolutely nothing. Because whatever your problem is, nothing will help. Nothing is known to cure baldness. Did you know that? Nothing gets out those impossible stains. Nothing lasts forever. Nothing is completely safe to eat. Nothing beats sex. And, of course, nothing is made in the U.S. A woman came up to me once and she said, "Swami, nothing satisfies my husband." I said, "Great, buy him some." Our slogan is, "Nothing is too good for your friends, but get it for them anyway." In addition to this, we've expanded our line. I have Swami's ultimate meditation tape, completely blank. I call it the sound of silence. If you hear anything while listening to that tape, totally inside your own head. Easy listening. Woo, doesn't get no easier. And anybody here have environmental sensitivities, perhaps? A lot of people are having this, where you can't handle heavy smells, right? I solved the problem. I came up with the world's first completely odorless cologne called Nonsense. Our slogan is, "This product makes no sense whatsoever." Swami's ultimate meditation tape, nobody gives you less. Okay, so are we going to end? I want to leave you with this one with this one thought, okay? I read this. Physiologically, laughter is a lot like orgasm. So thank you for coming. Namaste. Namaste go. If you believe in the hereafter, I will be hereafter signing books. No loose proposition. If I become very famous, you have a famous autograph. If not, you have a rare book. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
And so ends one of the most entertaining of all of the discussions at the Commonwealth Club in its 113th year of history. Thank you very much for coming.